Welcome to Podcast Coaching with Christine. Here we talk about how to grow your podcast using industry insights and broadcasting strategies. Hello and welcome back. I'm excited you're here with me to learn more about podcast movement. Podcast Movement is the world's largest virtual podcasting conference. It normally isn't virtual. It's normally just a conference, but it's a big deal and we're just coming off of it. And so in this week's episode, I thought we would do a little recap with some of the biggest takeaways, some of the biggest moments. So if you missed Podcast Movement this year, you'll get something out of listening to this episode because we're going to share some of the biggest things that you needed to hear if you were going to go. So with me today, I have a special guest. Her name is Heather Childs. She is one of the interns at Brightsided Media, and she is also a student at Palm Beach Atlantic University. Thanks for being here, Heather.
Thank you so much for having me, Christine. I'm really excited to talk about the podcast movement and everything that we learned.
Yeah. So what did you think?
Honestly, I was not sure how they would pull off having such an incredible conference all virtually, but it was amazing to see the different seminars, live shows, workshop rooms, and exhibitor demos all virtually, and just how they put that together where normally it was all in person.
Yeah. So I think that it's just kind of nuts the amount of work that went into putting on this virtual event and all of the different apps that the exhibitors had to learn and use to participate, including the attendees. So there was an app that we learned about called Swap Card, which was where this entire event ended up being hosted. And there were also, other events. I did like a speed dating event that was called Run the World. So that was interesting to me to see how they pulled this thing off. Did you notice any hiccups?
Yeah, so there was actually a few hiccups that I saw, and all you could do is just watch and see. For instance, when they would go from like the person that would just, talk about all of the speakers that were coming up, there were a lot of, just technical issues where there would be pauses or where you'd see everyone kind of just staring at the screen and waiting for the next thing to come up. But it all turned out okay. And they still, even if they were from their they had like a home studio or even their closet, they did everything that they could to make the show go on. So it was really interesting to see how they pulled it all off.
Yeah, there was one event that I went to where a guy kept trying to play sound clips so we could all hear them. But unfortunately, only he could hear them. Nobody who was attending the event could hear them. And he didn't know it. And then it turned into someone having to, like him having to describe what it sounded like. And it was just, there were a little bit of hiccups, but we're definitely all learning through COVID times and new conferences and new ways to gather and be together. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff we're all learning. So through this podcast, we're going to talk a little bit more about what we learned through Podcast Movement. For example, how the networking happened. One of the biggest things that, you go to a conference for an event is to meet people. And so how do you meet people? And so we're going to dive into that. We're going to talk about maximizing your listening data to increase listener engagement. So if you're someone who hasn't really been paying attention to your data, we're going to really dive into why that's important. We're going to talk about Mark Cuban from Shark Tank. He was a part of this conference. He was interviewed by Erica Mandy of The Newsworthy, and he shared some pretty great stuff about growing your podcast. So we're going to dive into that as well. We're also going to talk about just different applications that you can use so to improve the sound design and quality of your podcast. And then we're going to go into just some takeaways from a marketing event put on by Pat Flynn from Smart Passive Income. He's one of those OG podcasters and podcast coaches. So he shared some great stuff, and we're going to dive into all of those things. So let's back up. Let's go to networking. So Heather, how did you network with people at this virtual digital event that you could attend via your phone?
So I actually had a few people message me and say, I would love to connect with you and network that way, because it was almost like a DM saying, this is what I do. I would love if you check out my podcast. If you want to send me anything, please feel free to as well. So I thought that was really interesting. And then I actually sent a few networking requests out, and I got one from you as well. And so it was really interesting to, instead of going up to somebody in person and saying, hi, I do this, I'm, you know, here from that, but to just message them. And it was really interesting to see it that way.
Yeah. Did you end up having any meetings with anyone?
I did not, no.
There is one guy, he is a podcast producer named Francis Plourd from Canada, from CBC. And he was putting on an event about, you know, maximizing your podcast by using archives. So incorporating like news archives into your podcast. And he's from a public radio station, so he can repurpose the stuff that his like news arm uses into the podcast. But I was really curious, like, oh, can podcasters do that via, you know, free use in the United States? Like, does he know about this? Like, what can he share with me? And so I just started like DMing him after an event that he threw on, and he DM'd me back. And then we actually like FaceTimed through awesome. The app. So we had a whole conversation just like shooting the breeze about free use laws in Canada versus the United States. And as it turns out with news archives, you can use them kind of. It just depends on, you know, how you're using them. If it's for a public benefit, or there is definitely a murky area if you're going to like have a show that's like super monetized, or you're trying to sell something with this clip in it. So there was definitely, it was an interesting conversation. It was kind of cool to have it just randomly through.
So you were just able to ask him, like FaceTime him and ask him all these questions that you had. And he was like, yeah, so I know this and that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We just like shot the breeze about, I mean, I felt like we could have had a glass of wine and just started talking like we were at the real event, but
when he was in Canada.
Yeah, he was in Canada and working on his show, like in his like little studio area with his AirPods.
That's one great thing about having a virtual event is that people from all over the world can attend wherever they are. For instance, yeah. I'm in Florida and I'm able to attend this event and learn from it, and someone from Canada can also do the same thing. And I think it really helps connect people and share ideas in that way.
Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting and cool that we just connected so quickly like that. And I definitely had people sliding into my DMs as well. They're like, hey, check out my booth, check out my website, check out my podcast. And, it was cool. It was, you know, some of it was a little spammy, but I liked some of it. All right. So an event that you went to that you really loved, was put on by Stitcher, which is a media, listening. It's a listening app, so you can download it on your phone. But you said their VP posted this event about understanding your data and how to increase your listener engagement by looking at your data, and a lot of data you get by reviewing your media hosting provider. But what did you learn from this that you loved?
So the VP of growth, Sarah at Stitcher, she first off started with why you should care about engagement data. So basically, to put it blankly, like more engaged audience means more money. So with that, your listeners, if they're more engaged, there's a higher likelihood of purchase with ads or subscription revenue. If someone, you know, they are engaged, they want to subscribe and get the content on a regular basis, or even merchandise or live show tickets. And then she went on to talk about where to find data about your podcast and mentioned that Conan says he finds his data with his hosting provider. So for instance, analytics from Libsyn or podcast app platforms such as like partners.stitcher.com. And then she went to talk on about what each metrics mean. So the cornerstone of data is listens and listeners, with listens being the number of plays and then listeners being the actual number of people listening. And that it's really important to compare your episode level data, as in seeing which episode works the best, because here you're listening to your audience, seeing what works and what didn't work as great, as far as how you want to structure your episode or what content your audience is looking for. And then with the listening time, you should see your time going up as you gain more listeners and more episodes, because you want people who are engaged and want to listen to your show. And it's normal to see a big spike in that. And that favoring is also really important. So that's the same as subscribing, and you go from a listener to your podcast to a fan of your podcast, someone that is highly engaged. And that then she talked about how downloads are important for ad sales, keeping a number of that, and that even though a small percentage of downloaders actually listen to the show, which is average, that it's like 0.4 listens and downloads, but if your goal is engagement, you need to understand the completion rate, so that is like once someone starts, are they going to finish the episode, and that around 55% was the average of completion rate for a 30-minute episode. And that for a 60-minute episode, it was around 40%. But that what you can learn from your data is to check your listeners versus like the average. And that you want to see, you know, are you getting new favorites? Are you adding, you know, are you gaining that? Are you losing that? Is the listening time going up? And how important it is to come back regularly. So you don't want to just look at it once and say, okay, that's cool. But that you want to come back regularly and kind of compare it like every month and see what's working, what's not working. And what that means is like compare episode level metrics.
Yeah. So something that I do for a lot of my clients, Heather, is I pick a day, one day a month, because podcasting, the data has a long tail, which means you usually have to wait about a month to actually see what your data is. So to really understand it, you need at least 4 weeks to go by. And so usually one day a month, I'll sit down with one of my clients and I'll just go through their data and I'll look to see, you know, which episodes are performing the highest and what is the percentage that a listener is listening, is seeing like of the show. Are they listening to 80% of it, 90%, 50%? And if there's a standout episode, what can we do like that episode again to make it stand out? Or is it the title of the episode, or was it SEO maximized, or was it the description, or like what was it that made that episode stand out so much, and what can we do to repeat it again and again? So that is one of the reasons it's so important to look at your data to understand what your listeners want, and then to repeat it or try something new or change your podcast. You know, something I've learned after working in the marketing industry was to test everything and see what works. And if something fails, try something else. And it's okay if you fail, because then you can try something else. So yeah, that sounds like really great advice from Sarah.
Yeah, definitely. I think that it's really important to be able to say, okay, this didn't work so great. All right, that's fine. Let me try something else. And then when it does, it's exciting and you are able to see, okay, how can I do this again? And really also it's important to see how connected your audience is.
Mm-hmm. So what are ways you can see that?
So with Libsyn, you can actually go and see the data on that. Or you can go to, you can go to Stitcher on their website and look at the analytics with that.
and see how engaged people are. Something else you can do is you can incorporate a segment into your podcast. Say it's like ask an audience question. And so if people in your audience want to ask the person you're interviewing a question, you can give them the opportunity to share it by just polling your social media or polling a Facebook group or some, you know, wherever it is the people who listen to your show hang out, ask them and then ask their questions in your podcast so that you're giving them a shout out. So that's just the more people who respond to you, that's one way to increase listener engagement.
Yes, make them feel like they're a part of something and that they're able to interact with the podcast.
For sure. Okay. So next up, one of the big keynote things that was happening during this podcast movement was Mark Cuban from Shark Tank was coming on, and Erica Mandy, a journalist, she's also the host of The Newsworthy, a daily news podcast, was interviewing him, and you attended this. What did you think?
It was so interesting. I think he was at his house and you could just see all of the awards and everything behind him. And you were able to see where he talked a little about his family and his background. And what was really interesting is they actually both went to Indiana University. And so they were able to connect in that way. And he talked about when he was in college that he had this idea with AudioNet. And that he wanted to create basically a platform that would help with audio. And he actually said that it was because of wanting to listen to a sports game, and that they used to have back in the 90s, they used to have someone just put it on speakerphone by the game so that someone else could hear it, even if they weren't actually there. And so then he had the idea of creating AudioNet, and he actually sold that for $6 billion to Yahoo. So he's definitely good to be on Shark Tank as well. He definitely fits that. But basically, he says that everyone can be a broadcaster, but you have to decide who you want to reach. And so he even mentioned his kid and how his kid was doing Twitch, and he just had seven listeners, and that was what he wanted. It was very, very niche, and that was what he wanted. But if you want a niche audience or a larger audience, and then they talked about legacy media and where do you see your future, and of course streaming is the future, that it's important to protect old business but also invest in the new business. And how,
so you said streaming is the future, so what does that mean for podcasters?
Basically, there used to be just radio, and now there's more of podcasts where it's on your own time. And so you can, you know, be on the go, you can be doing whatever you're doing normally while listening to podcasts as well at the same time. And so, you know, we have Netflix where that's, you're watching your TV show whenever you want to. It's not like you have to record a DVD or, you know, VHS tape, but that you can listen to your podcast, whether that's niche or general, whenever you want to. And streaming is the future.
Yeah, I agree. I also think that live podcasting is going to become more and more common. There's a lot of podcasters who do it already, but this is kind of, if you want to level up your podcast right now, if you started doing this live, you can use, there's an app called StreamYard. That's just one place you can do it. I believe you can do it on Zoom right now. You can set up your Zoom, do Zoom, Facebook, YouTube. You can use something called Reshare, and you can podcast live on LinkedIn using Reshare. So there's all of these different applications that allow for live streaming. So, you know, come into an app near you, could be Podcast Coaching with Christine live very soon.
Yeah, because having it live, I think also it connects in with the audience in its own way as well. Because, you know, you're able to see, oh, this is happening right now. I don't want to miss it. I don't know what's going to happen. And there's kind of that level of engagement because it's live and happening.
You know, when I was in the TV news industry, that was a super important part of it. The more you could be live, the better, just because of that, you just don't know what could happen aspect of a live broadcast. Like, that was more interesting to viewers sometimes than taped segments. And this was sometimes begrudgingly to reporters who were like 2 hours away from the statement, away from the station, 2 hours away from the station at midnight, or like not midnight, at 10, but then they knew they wouldn't get back home till around midnight. And they're like, I could just tape it. It's dark out here. No one's going to know. But but the news director knew, and he just wanted it live, or she wanted it live. So. Yeah.
And so Mark Cuban was also saying that the best content creators look to be where there's the most people, which I think is relevant on all different platforms, but especially with podcasting. And that he said, it's all coming full circle, that when he was first starting out with AudioNet, people made fun of him. They were like, what are you doing? You know, video is the biggest thing. I don't know why you're wasting your time with this. But then he sold it to Yahoo for $6 billion. So who's laughing now? So I would say that he said it's coming full circle. So basically audio is becoming more of an alternative with that. And of course, we all know that podcasting is getting more and more relevant, even during the time of COVID, that it's increasing in popularity.
Oh, COVID times. Speaking of COVID times, something you might be thinking as a podcaster and a new creator is, what are all of the different tools that people are using out there to edit their podcasts? How do they make their podcasts sound so good? Well, I went to this one event in the conference that was all about sound design. And they had expert sound designers sharing, you know, tips and tricks, and they all use different editing tools, which I just found was so interesting. So I use Adobe Premiere because my background is in video editing. And then I, you know, take my audio files and I convert them into podcasts because I just am so much more comfortable with Adobe Premiere, and I've done it for so long. Doesn't mean I can't learn a new trick, but I just feel more comfortable with Adobe Premiere. But some of the other tools that podcasters are using are Adobe Audacity. That's the big one for podcasters. There's also Audacity, like huge like production companies are using Audacity, which is a completely free online tool to edit podcasts. And I thought that was really interesting. There's also people using Reaper. Actually, another intern at our company uses Reaper, and she does an amazing job editing. And Reaper is also a free tool. So there's a lot of free stuff out there if you want to edit your podcast on your own. The world, the internet is your oyster.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it really depends on what, you know, platform you like, what works best for you, and also like what you said, what you're used to, you know, because editing can take a very, very long time if you're kind of unfamiliar with like the in and outs of it. But that if you find something that works for you, go for it.
Yeah, for sure. And people always ask me, like, how do I find music to put in my podcast? Well, there's a lot of different online, you know, sites that you can go to find music. Pond5 is one of them. That's P-O-N-D-5, the number 5.com. There's a lot of places where it costs money to buy music to incorporate into your podcast. But
that can definitely add up.
Yeah, that can add up. But there's also free places you can go. So for example, freeradio.org is a place that you can go and find license-free music because they also take everything has like a Creative Commons license. So, or not license. That's not the word I'm looking for. It's escaping me right now, but check it out. go to freeradio.org if you're looking for a music and how to incorporate that into your podcast. Something these sound designers do also is they take different sound effects and music and echoes and they layer them. So they'll use like three different pieces of music for what I would think was just one piece of music. And so they mix it to almost create a whole new thing
And that gets rid of a lot of the issues with copyright because they're changing mm-hmm. it to make it into something new.
Well, yeah. And they're taking something that's copyright free and making it more interesting. And so it sounds like it's of higher quality than just like the one beep or something that might be a sound effect.
And then there's also a YouTube audio library. I know that there's mm-hmm. a lot where you can make it specifically so it's copyright free. And a lot of them, you don't even need to have attribution for it that, and they're really interesting as well.
Yeah. One of the other tips that they shared was a composer named Kevin. He allows people to just take his music. He composes it and he gives it away on his website, but you do have to credit him. And this is kind of similar to Creative Commons, but his website is called incomptech.com, incomptech.com. And I'll also put that in the show notes. So lots of interesting stuff. A note that, you know, we were talking about ending on, Heather, was this positive note of, you know, speaking to so many people and making sure that you're constantly making your podcast about your audience and the people you're talking to. And this was a marketing event hosted by Pat Flynn of Smart Passive Intern. Smart, that's Heather is this very smart intern with us.
Thank you.
We have Pat Flynn from Smart Passive Income, and he talked about marketing and the importance of sharing your story on other podcasts. Is that right?
Yeah. So the way that he also had the entire conference, his section of it, what kept me so engaged because he actually had a three different camera setup that he would switch between. He even was able to do sound effects and he clearly knew what he was doing on that. And so he talked about how he started as a blogger and that podcasting basically is the new blogging. And his audience with Smart Passive Income is entrepreneurs, but that regardless of whether your podcast is more general or it's more niche, that he had a few key points that I also took away from it. So point one was his one to many. And basically with your podcast, he was saying that you own the stage, that every week or every day, however much you have your podcast, it's an audience. And that audience might be not sitting in a conference room, but they're on the go, they're driving, they're at home, they're cooking, but that the podcast is a stage. And so you want to, you know, attract people to your stage. And that he said that getting yourself on another podcast or stage is his number one thing. So that he talks about, yeah, he's had people ask him questions, you know, ads are great, social media is great, but that he kind of sees ads that they're meant to stop or interrupt, where rather than if you figure out, in his words, what your superpower is and that for you to serve first on other platforms, which means being the byproduct of coming in and serving another audience, whether that's being a guest on another podcast and finding out what you can do for that audience. So then that podcaster that they have their own audience, they're endorsing you by saying, okay, this, I want this person to be on my show. And so then the listeners, they trust the person that they're listening to. And so then when they say, yeah, this person's great, they will have an easier time going from their podcast to yours. If they already have the hosting site open, it's a lot easier rather than clicking an ad and going to it that way. But that he was saying that, you know, Facebook ads are still good, but that growing in front of another audience really is an extension of your stage and brings that audience also to you. So that was point one.
Yes.
And so then,
oh, go ahead.
So then point two was one-to-one, which was the word of mouth. And so then he started off saying, so why do people share things? Well, it's like a one-on-one conversation. Like when you're listening to a podcast, you're, you know, in your room, you have your headphones on, and it feels like even if that person is speaking to a bunch of different people on their quote unquote stage, it feels like they're just talking to you. So that he suggested using words like you or your life to scale intimacy, because that's one great thing that podcasts can do, is it makes you feel like you're directly connecting with the person that you're listening to. And that people want to share things because they want to share something that maybe they're going through as well. And, or they want to be the first to let other people know. So for listeners here, I think that, you know, it's great to share something that, oh, a tip and trick that they learned. Maybe they know someone else that is also starting up a new podcast and they want to help them out. And that speaking to experts is also a great thing. And sometimes going directly is really good rather than just general. So then the third point that he has is the one to you. So part of podcast growth is, of course, the podcast, but it's also the person creating the podcast, so yourself. And so you want to take your skills as a communicator, you want to get better, but you also want to take care of your mental health. And like he said, it is really easy to play the comparison game, right? Where you look at how much money you're making or the ads compared to this person or that person. And he's saying that that can drag us down, but it really is you versus yourself, who you are, your goals, and why you wanted to start the podcast in the first place, because you want to create those goals. And then he actually talked about this really motivational story where he almost gave up on his own show, but because of a listener reaching out to him in email saying he had gone through something really traumatic, but that he was motivated because of his show. And I thought that was so, so interesting and so inspiring, because people want to be informed, entertained, and motivated.
Absolutely. And I also think that you kind of share one more thing for on the you factor, something that is really helpful if you are starting your own podcast. Like, there are so many people who I've talked to who are like, you know what, doing this really just helped me. Because I was able to get this idea out of my head, or because I was able to connect with all of these other amazing people that I didn't have an excuse to connect with them before, or, you know, doing this podcast held me accountable so that even if I was feeling down, like, I knew that I had to be there for my audience, and so I had to do it. And so sometimes starting a podcast might just be the thing that you need at a time when things might be difficult, because you can kind of repurpose whatever you're going through into a way to connect with others. And I do love that about podcasting. And so I love that you brought that up and that he talked to the mental health aspect of it as well.
Yeah, it definitely stuck with me. It definitely did. And I think that's also a great point, because especially this year, you know, a lot of people are stuck in their homes and they want an escape, right? They want to be able to feel like they're creating something and that they're still being productive, even if they're at home and, you know, they're working from home and they want to be able to focus, or maybe it's a passion, and really, like you said, get that idea that they have in their head out there for an audience to relate to.
Yeah. Well, I am glad that you liked Podcast Movement so much.
I loved it.
I really enjoyed it too. And if you are listening and you didn't get a chance to go, there will be another opportunity. There are a bunch of different podcasting events that are happening out there. And I'll include some links to some up and coming events in the show notes so you can check it out and you can meet other podcasters, collaborate, and even vent. Sometimes all we need is like a good vent session.
Honestly, sometimes it's important. Makes all the difference.
Exactly. So thank you guys for listening. And Heather, if people want to find you and learn more about you, where can they go?
So I actually create content for thebeacontoday.com. That's actually with my school at Palm Beach Atlantic University in West Palm Beach. So I create content on there. And that also just has a bunch of different varieties of topics.
Awesome. Well, thank you for helping me out with this week's episode.
Thank you so much for having me. Honestly, it was really great to talk about everything.
Thank you guys for listening. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. You can also find this podcast on Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and more. If you would like to email me directly, feel free to reach out at podcastcoachchristine@gmail.com. And of course, you can head to my website, christine-o'donnell.com, for frequently asked questions, the latest on what's going on in the industry, and I look forward to seeing you over there.